please? Pledge of Allegiance, roll call. Here,
here,
here, here.
I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We have a nice group tonight. Thank you guys for coming out. Okay. Public comment. This is a period devoted to comments by the general public about items on this agenda. No discussion, action, or vote may be taken on this agenda item. You will be afforded the opportunity to speak on individual public hearing items at the time they are presented. If you wish to speak to the board council about items within its jurisdiction but not appearing on this agenda, you must wait until the comments by the general public period listed at the end of this agenda. Comments will be limited to 3 minutes, please. Please step up to the podium, clearly state your name and address for the record, spell your last name for the record. If any board or member, any member of the board council wishes to extend the length of a presentation, this will be done by the chair or the board council by majority vote. And we will move on to approval of minutes from May 28th for possible action.
And they should be from July 30th.
Oh, they sure are.
Yes, they are. Okay. I've read them and I made to approve.
Second.
Okay, approval of agenda for today, August 30th, and hold, combine, or delete any items for possible action.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Third. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, informational items. Receive a report from Metro regarding activity and statistics during the past month and other area crime concerns for discussion only.
Hello, everybody. Sergeant Jeff Team of Metro. No statistics this month. Computer wasn't working, so. As far as crime, everything's pretty much the standard. We haven't had any upticks or anything like that. We had a rash of auto burglaries last night that occurred at the Chevron and G. So just make sure when you're going up there, you're stopping in, have any valuables, just make sure you keep them. It's hit us over there if you're trying to get people with a rental car coming through. But just be cautious when you're using any of the gas stations in Gino Prim. That's where we have our problems. Just make sure you store away any valuable.
Is it people breaking into cars or stealing cars?
Breaking into cars. Mm-hmm. They usually hit tourists. But don't leave any valuable out. Just, you know, don't make yourself good. That's all they have. But nothing any good springs. And it's all on the freeways. In other news, as I've been talking about for months, our side-by-side is finally here.
Yay!
I'm working on getting an enforcement event for this weekend because it's a holiday. I'm running into some personnel roadblocks, so I'm going to try to get it out here over the weekend. If not, we'll be out here at least a little bit on Labor during Labor Day itself. I'm going to try to get it out on Friday or Saturday around town to try to corral some of the issues we've been having with off-road vehicles. Other than that, it's outside, and you're all more than welcome to come check it out after the meeting. I can turn the lights on for you if you want to. It's got a couple of gizmos. But other than that, everything's hunky-dory. Did anyone have any questions or concerns for me?
Can we hear the siren?
Do you have a siren on the buggy?
It's got a radio. It's got lights, sirens. It's got that cool red and blue look on it.
Bright lights.
It's got
bright lights.
Yeah. Almost overkill.
Okay.
Do you share that with the other operators around, or how, what's the...
We got a grant from the state, and that is only for what we call the enterprise resident section, which is state line. So that's just those of us you see with. I had a provision written to the grant that says the department can't take it from me and reappropriate it for me.
Ha ha. Good job.
Where's it being parked?
It's being parked at our substation.
I know where it is right now.
No, it's parked right now. It's being parked at our substation in G. We're evaluating options, possible to leave it somewhere so we can deploy quickly. But right now it's staying at our building.
Yes, Dean. There was a problem a couple months ago with the spike news You took care of East Dead Art. You know, I haven't seen that happen since then.
That was one weird group.
You know, I happened to go to breakfast that day, and I could see them all, you know, by their colors, starting early. And but like I say, that hasn't been a problem. You guys have been visual since then.
And I know what you're talking about. We actually were out there working that event. We didn't come until a little bit later in the day. The party had already started. But we tried to stand on top of that.
You guys did a good job after that. Tom straightened them out real quick. It was a half hour of craziness. You know?
Sometimes I'm stuck in different parts. Just come find me.
I know a lot of it's coming to and from Tom's business, but you know, at the same time, they're not.
Right.
That's people coming from the outside, so, you know, it's, you know.
Like, well, that seems to, like, slow down, but there is, like, a problem. You mean about 9:20, 10 o'clock at night, and they were on that side of the road. A bunch of buggers are coming from the desert.
No.
6, 7, 8, 9, 10 of them, you know, boom, and then head for the hill. Mess around and come back. I mean, if they're recording a certain time of night, can they...
I mean, technically, they're not supposed to be on the paper.
Well, that's right, maybe too.
Is there a particular day where that's happening? Or is it
Saturday? It's usually the weekend. And it's late. It's always late. I don't know if you hear the
people
by your place.
I hear the same ones that you hear.
Ongoing. It is an ongoing.
And I'm pretty sure other people live on that side here. I don't know where they're coming from.
They come over Cottonwood.
The bypass and back to
Blue Diamond.
They come over from Blue Diamond.
But once they hit that street where I live at, Main Street, they're on the road and they don't belong there, right?
And half the time they come out and the bar's already closed. Because I can see from where I live, and I may get up with the dogs at 2 or 3 in the morning and they're still coming in, and I know the bar's closed.
Well, my guys are aware and they know that it is a hot button topic of mine, so they've been trying to stay on top of it. Yeah. But I haven't, that's the first I've heard that there's been an issue with multiple ones coming out.
Sometimes more.
20,
30, and then you got a couple of dragging in late, you know, behind them, and then they all meet up, go for the hill with their lights and everything. Idiots. But a couple broke down the other night over there. I don't know if you know that. But one was during the day, too. Me and my brother saw them. Saturday.
I know it's an ongoing problem. I don't know if we're going to be able to eliminate it, but hopefully with a little enforcement and getting seen, especially outside of town, will kind of help. Once the word is out, hey, the cops are out there and they've got a machine and they're going to...
And they'll get you.
Yeah, they communicate on Facebook.
By the time you get to the phone and call you, they're not...
Right,
and
I understand that. It
takes a while.
But I will let my guys know who work the afternoon shift, especially to make sure they're swinging through here.
Yeah. Like I said, it's usually 9, 10 o'clock later, you know, they come in.
I will pass on the word. Yeah.
All right, that's my say. Thanks for letting me hear you.
I know it's not a problem since I've been here.
It predates you.
Yes, if anyone has anything, I'll be around after the meeting too. So. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you.
And thanks for being around a lot, man.
Try our best.
Okay, continuing on with informational items. Receive a report from Clark County Administrative Services regarding updates OHV designated trail mile markers on State Route 161 Sandy Valley Dollar Store. And other updates from Clark County for discussion.
So our designated OHV trail, I haven't made any more progress on that since the last meeting. It's still in process. The mile markers are there.
On the road?
They've been there.
They weren't yesterday?
Yes, I checked them the other day. I counted every
green?
Single one. No, they're not green. They're white. They've always been white.
Oh, I saw.
They're the same one.
Yeah, yeah, the originals.
They've always been there. And they're there.
So they're not going to replace them with bigger ones?
No. Not right now.
Okay.
So no, they're.
I'll quit bugging.
They're all there.
Okay. Yeah, they are.
And
you can't
I
see
was
them.
Very embarrassed when I reached out to them again, and they're like, "Your mile marker signs are there." And I was like, "Okie dokie." So yeah, so they're there. We may not like
those
them.
Those are standard size.
Yeah.
Same
yeah.
on State Route 159.
Yeah.
I think 160's got a big fancy ones, but other than that, those are the standard ones.
Yeah, new roads are getting the bigger ones. Although I don't know that they're any better because the way that some of the letters are one way and some are another way, so I don't know that they're any better.
Sorry, I couldn't.
Listen, Siri.
I know, seriously.
In case anybody was in, interested. Our Family Dollar store that was planned for Sandy Valley is not going to happen. Super, super disappointing. It came down to issues with water service. And it's a combination of the developer and the county. When you develop commercial properties or large size properties in rural areas where you rely on well water, and you don't have a water system with hydrants, there are rules about providing enough water. So they would have had to provide 180,000 gallon water tank, which would be enough to serve like the whole town. How big is, do you know how big your tank is up at the fire station? And we just got the new tank in Sandy Valley and at the fire station, and it's a 50,000 gallon tank, so if that tells you anything. And it would have been bigger than the building. We couldn't reach a compromise on that. I worked my butt off to try to get it, because in case you don't know, I live in Sandy Valley. I was looking forward to having an option there. I did all my sweet talking I could, it didn't work. And I can't sweet talk the code. So it's very unfortunate, and I'm very sad to have to tell you that. But our store over there has been closed. The general store, they are working on reopening it. There's a lot of issues with that, and if any other questions, I can tell you about what has happened with that, but they are planning to reopen the next 2 weeks. And that's all I have, unless there's questions for me.
Okay, planning and zoning. Bear with me here. UC-19-0594-Blake Dawn the First and Mary E. Rev Trust and Fleming Stephen Nevada Trust. Use permits for the following. 1. Watchman's Manufactured Homes. And 2. Permit existing accessory structures, shipping containers, and depensies prior to a principal use or structure. Waivers of development standards for the following. 1. Alternative street landscaping. 2. Permit an existing non-decorative fence. 3. Reduce access gate setback. And 4. Waive full off-site improvements, parentheses, curb, gutter, sidewalk, street lights, and partial paving, end parentheses. Design review for the following. 1. Existing Watchman's Manufactured Home. And 2. Existing accessory structures, shipping containers on 1 acre in a C2 general commercial zone, generally located on the north side of Spring Street, State Route 161, and the east side of Revere Street within Good Springs. JJMDXX for possible action.
What's JJ?
I don't know.
JJ is Commissioner Jones. MD is Mark Donahue, is the planner. And the XX, when it's reviewed, when someone reviews it in Public Works, their initials will go there.
Interesting.
Good job, Steve. Are we moving on to general business, or do we want to address this?
What is this all about?
He's going to chit chat.
What is this all about?
Is Steve going to say something?
Presenting, I imagine. Suppose so. Might take more than 3 minutes, but
take your time.
Steve Fleming, 130 Pacific. I'm just going to pass around this picture. This is kind of a picture of the property that I got a notice of violation on, and this was in the 30s, of course, when my grandfather and grandmother lived in this portion, and then they had a general store next door. So it's pretty cool. It's right where the windmill is. This building, of course, is no longer there, but it's very close to where the community club center is. So I'll just pass that around if you want, and just so you can see kind of what the structures were.
Can you tell us when you got a notice of violation?
Yeah.
I got a notice of violation shortly after one of our meetings here, and it was the date was April 12th, 2019. Violation was, permits are required for all repairs, alterations, or additions. 22-02160. So basically, I'll tell you where I am right now. So far, it's cost me 8 hours
So two in zoning, one in zoning, one in building, and 6 hours in comprehensive planning, plus $3,125. Now, I am trying to figure out what the justification was for that kind of a violation. The violation, notice the violation, I would think would be something that had to do with safety or health, or basically something that was causing a problem in town. So it seems to me that that was not a justified notice of violation. But anyway, that's what I've had
what
to deal with.
What reason did they give you?
Yeah.
What reason did they give me?
Yeah.
We'll have to ask maybe Megan to say why there was a notice of that violation since you filed it.
It was filed on behalf of the commissioner's office, and when, as has happened multiple times, when someone comes to me from the community with a concern, actually more than one in this case, about something that's going on without proper permits or without the proper approvals, then it is my job, as I put on notice by people, to send out code enforcement to see if there are any violations. In this case, there were.
So are you saying that people in Good Springs came to you to complain about the...
Why would the complaint be?
Why were you prompted to file a complaint?
What was the reason?
What was the violation? Because residents came to me saying that there was construction and things being done, and they wanted to know if there were permits. I looked and there were no permits, so I filed. This is what we do. This is what liaisons do in every community. Just like if you had a concern about your neighbor and they were suddenly building something, you would contact me, or you could call it in yourself.
Usually
some people
you
don't
call
want
it
to
in
be
yourself
named.
Because it's anonymous when you call it in yourself. Whenever it comes from a liaison, it's public record.
That's not true. It's not anonymous. If you choose to be anonymous, you can be anonymous.
Yeah.
But when the commission's office does it, we send an email saying this has been brought to our attention, and that's how it happens.
Now, in a small community like this, wouldn't it make sense if that you just said, you know what, there's been a concern here, maybe better permits. Why would you go through a code violation, which is serious to me?
Because several years ago, you asked us to do the same thing on another property, which I did.
I've gone through it several times.
When? I didn't ask you for any. You'll have to tell me more detail. Anyway, so to me, it's pretty hard to believe that would have gotten some complaints, but I would hope that someone was here that was complaining about it.
There are people in this room that complain about it.
And they don't want to come up and say why they were...
Obviously not, since you're being...
That's not really the point, though, Steve.
Right.
We should just...
And had there been no violations, there would be no violations. If stuff had not been done incorrectly, there would be no violation.
Well, I guess the thing is, as I wrote to Commissioner Jones, if that is the case, then basically, pretty much, I would say there would be a violation on almost every property in town. So why would it be zeroed in on one person? Anyway.
Because it was brought to my attention. Code enforcement only goes out in response to complaints, and I received two complaints.
It's happened with the property at the end of the street.
And what I'm asking
right.
is
twice.
That,
yeah.
Correct.
That there is
right.
really not, does anyone have any, is there any justification for, obviously, we're not going to put curb, gutter, sidewalk, streetlight, partial paving in.
I think everybody agrees. We don't want
to. That's not going to happen. And basically, I've written three justification letters as part of this wonderful exercise in utility, but basically why I chose to do that was that whenever the store and house burned down several years back, my grandfather and grandmother had bought those buildings in 1920. They lived there for 60 plus years, house and store on the same property, which now code says you can't have both. You can't have a house and a business on the same thing. Well, I don't have a business there. What I'm asking basically you guys to consider is that, unless somebody can figure out some reason why there would be any opposition to a use permit,
as
spelled out. That was what Katie just...
What's the purpose of the building?
Oh, for the Watchman and the...
The Watchman's manufacturing home permit, existing accessory structures.
For the shipping containers.
And the main concern they had was that it was prior to a principal use. What I'm asking is that a principal use for that property is historic preservation. That property basically, I hope someday, will be restored with a store, not necessarily a functioning store, but maybe a museum store and the house.
So for commercial basically, use then, there, it'd be a storefront? Basically.
It would be a storefront, basically.
That'd be exciting to have.
You know, so it would be,
yes.
It makes more sense. Now, the sellers that were there, when they moved in the 1920s, there was a small cellar on one side, on the store side. And it was a mining community, obviously, so it wasn't too hard to get a couple of miners to dig a cellar underneath both buildings. It was a very large cellar. I played in that cellar and I enjoyed that little cellar when I was a kid. And basically, so it came down to now, whenever the two structures were burned and one other outbuilding, that I either had to fill it in, which would have been carrying in a lot of dirt to fill in, compact, to be able to build a building on top of it, or to reconstruct the cellar, which is what I researched the containers. I actually got an estimate on building it with a slab floor, concrete walls, basically that type of a cellar. Storage, the shipping containers made the most sense. And so that's what it did, excavated it out.
So those are the shipping containers that you want to leave there.
Exactly.
As the cellar.
They do not.
So you're basically just preserving, the cellar that was there.
Just going to have a cellar, because basically over the 19 years that we've had a historical society, we've gotten a lot of donations and a lot of things that basically need to be preserved, even from that site itself. And even though I've had a guy living on that property for the last 25 years, we have still lost a few things. In fact, Dave Bicycle just lost a great old sign out of the backyard up here. So it still happens, unfortunately. So that's why I would like to be able to put some of those items into a storage container so that they are safe. Mm-hmm. They are also, you know, they're pretty much fire resistant, let's say.
Yeah. If the manufactured home goes on top of it, or this historical store go on top of it? What goes on top of the cellar?
It's not part of the permit that we're talking about right now.
It won't
she
be.
Ask the question.
Answering. And that's a good question. Basically, what my plan and initially what I had someone that was going to do it. Basically, we would build on a container. The front, just like that picture, basically.
So like
on the front of one of those containers.
The facade.
Facade, just a veneer. And basically, we would bring it and have a celebration and the return of the store. Mm-hmm. And basically, but that may not happen. I don't know. All I really want to do right now is to be able to have those as a seller. By the time I get finished with what we planned on doing there, you won't really even probably see them. I mean, as it is, you know, you can see them, but they're not conspicuous. If they were above ground, I would never have put them on ground level because there would
be
too much.
Right, it wouldn't be a cellar.
Yeah, so I would never have put them on that.
It's pretty cool under there, too. I got to walk through Steve's cellar, and it's pretty cool under there what he's done.
This round, is the county looking at it like it's going to be a commercial use, or is this a temporary thing to get into the commercial use? Because there's going to be whole time someone.
That's
why I
appreciate how much you've gone through and the fees that you must have incurred by now.
Yeah,
but anyway.
They mark them up.
It will not, but I don't have any way to recoup it either because it's not
a
business and it may not be.
I'd like to.
I would love to have it, but I don't know that I will because of the...
So that's the ultimate goal, but what we're going through, what this is going through...
Is just to be able to have those as a storage area for historical items primarily. Well, I mean, I've probably put a few things that are maybe not historical, but most of them are.
Well,
they're on that property.
Historical after you leave it there for a while.
All those buildings on there are from 1910, 1915. All the remaining buildings are from 1910, 1915. So it's basically just to say, it will make a sense to have it. I will veneer any of the exposed areas with old wood so that it will blend in with that. What I would ask you guys to consider is even a little motion that would say a justified use for that property is historic preservation, because they work with boxes, as you'll probably find out. And if there's not a box that you can check, they say, well, we don't know what to do with it. But it seems to me that there should be something that will allow historic preservation to occur.
Yeah. My concern is you go through this, and then there's not the infrastructure that they want to see, or this and that, coming into the future.
I'm wondering if it might be a great idea, because a lot of people that sit on the council don't understand, you know, what you're trying to do and the historical value that you're trying to preserve. So I'm wondering if it might be somehow we can get people, you know, from the county, from the council, to come out here and actually see what you're trying to do, because curbing and all of that, you know, obviously that's not part of it, not here.
No.
One of the other things that I was going to request...
They asked that for everybody, though?
They do.
That's a pretty standard thing.
They answered for
my,
when I built the garage.
$100 for them to answer that.
When I built the garage, they wanted to get
curbing
better.
They pretty much waited that. I mean, they know what we want out here. And
well, the thing is that we should be able to sign a document that says, I will, when there is an assessment district comes into fact, this property will comply with all the needed infrastructure that you would want to have occur. Rather than
I wouldn't want to sign that. I don't want you to sign that either.
Well, I would, because basically I don't anticipate that there's going to be a need for curb and gutter for quite some time.
It's going to be a while.
There is a document like that, and I'll bet you did sign it.
Oh, did I?
They're called deed restrictions.
Oh, God, no.
Yeah, they're called deed restrictions.
Oh, my gosh.
And that's exactly what it's for.
Oh.
So, because Public Works recognizes...
At some point, they'll come in and they'll go put
they
this in.
They recognize that these things are not needed now.
It's like a fish hook.
But it's like in town. There's streets in Vegas that cross now that whoever thought they would cross.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Whoever thought that Ann Road would be more than a little two-lane road. So it's those houses along there had deed restrictions that said, hey, we don't have to put in curb gutter, sidewalk, street lights until it's deemed necessary. And that's when they came in and did it.
Gotcha.
And so that happens all over the place. It's not just here. It's not just rural areas. Anywhere that you're developing that isn't ready for that infrastructure
that
yet,
sense.
You have to sign deed restrictions.
Fine.
And that's not the condition on here yet, but it will be. It'll be an if-approved condition. If the waiver of the office sites is approved, they'll ask for deed restrictions.
What's a staff's recommendation on this?
Nine.
Could they give a justification for it?
It's in your back.
It says, historical events have demonstrated how important off-site improvements are for drainage control. Additionally, full width paving allows for better traffic flow and sidewalks on public streets, provide safer pathways for pedestrians for children to walk to school. Therefore, the staff cannot support the waiver of development or standards for full off-site improvements. That is their reasoning.
That's for that.
Yeah.
Certainly, it's very apparent that not one of the people that
they've not been out here.
Has ever been to Good Spring.
No.
Yeah. People don't even let the kids walk to school. They drive up to school.
Just because it's their denial, though, doesn't mean that they're going to not approve.
That's correct.
You not putting in your curb and gutter.
Waivers of
because more than likely they're going to approve not putting it in.
Yeah.
Correct.
Well,
waivers of lot sites are standard in rural areas.
Right.
Anyway, that's the same thing. I looked at the card, and it's the same card that you get, you know, when you have your watchman trailer, and you have to do it every year, or what is the situation?
No, that's any time we change anything. So pretty standard, when we change anything, it's, we get notice of violations, and then we have to go through this process, and it can be painful. Yeah.
Does someone complain about it?
Somebody does, yeah. somebody complain. I never asked. I don't want to know.
And I want to say something. Deb, you asked about the manufactured home. This is talking about the one that's currently on the property for the gentleman that lives there that watches over the property. Not a
new one.
Right.
Okay.
Yes.
Not
he's been there for 30 years.
Not the new one. Yeah.
Is it Mr. Brown?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just wanted to make sure you knew that it's not about a new one.
I appreciate that.
It is inconspicuous. It's supposed to be inconspicuous according to what their regulation is. So it is. If you haven't seen it,
then it's working.
It's pretty.
It's working.
Thank you.
Anyway, so what I'm just asking, I guess that I'd be able to keep my storage containers, and basically, I would love to see a couple of things, like basically a waiver or a removal of that code violation.
So those don't get removed until, in my experience, until late. How does that work?
Well, it doesn't get removed because there is a violation.
Yeah, exactly.
Work was done without permits.
And how do you rectify it?
That's everyone around here. Is that the case? Have you found
if you
that?
Wanted to go and call in a complaint on every property, probably most properties have a code violation.
And then how does that get rectified? You get a permit.
This process.
You go through this process.
Yeah, you go through
this.
I just think it's a shame that it's cost you over $3,100 to respond to this.
It's unbelievable to me that it couldn't have been easier.
And why couldn't
it
have been a phone call instead of, I mean, is that what we should expect for the rest of us? Are we all going to start getting
code violations?
It's happened before. This is not the first one.
Well,
it's happened with everybody.
Well,
I had to go through it for building my garage.
I understand, but I
mean,
think we need to not.
But you can't, otherwise, if you open it up, the door wide open for everybody. Careful what you wish for.
That's what
I'm not saying that.
I'm just saying that as a community.
If you talk to somebody from the county, you can't take it back. Once they're told, they have to do something.
Right. I understand.
If you had
that.
A concern on your neighboring property and I didn't do something about it,
she
I would not be acting in good faith to you as
right.
a
neighbor.
I understand. But what I'm saying is that prior to it going to a code violation and costing someone over $3,100, that could be any of us.
Well, you go get a permit first before you do anything.
I understand, but if you're going to build something
or excavate or bring in a manufactured home or bring in any kind of structures, you should get the proper permits
first.
I hear you and I understand that, and there's a lot of people that have done it that way, just as you know our new neighbor on Webb's old property, he did the same. But is there something in between someone saying, hey, you know, I'm really not sure about what's happening on Steve's property. Is there a step that we can take as a community?
I directly talk to the person.
And thank you.
Yeah, cut out.
And talk to them
and say,
hey, what have you got going on? You know, how can I help? Instead of going right to a $3,100 code violation complaint.
But what if,
you
know,
just us.
The project is substantial that eventually it'd be hard to be unnoticed, you know. For instance, I put up the porch. I thought a porch, no big deal, right? I ended up tearing down the building because there was no permit. They could not find a permit on the mobile home.
Right.
So that mobile home had no permit, and I ended up just removing it, which is okay. I mean, I'm not that heartbroken about it. But
right.
Does the semi have a permit then?
But the thing has been here since, I know of 1984.
Right. And
it may have been
a problem. Not to have
it may have been even further than that. The mobile home, Nevada mobile home division, they don't hold any of their records beyond 3 years. So if it was beyond 3 years, it was impossible to find any kind of permit for it anyway.
So did someone complain about that, or did someone come to you at your property?
I went through the same thing he's going through right now.
So again, what I'm saying, as a community, can we go directly, like Tom just said, go directly to someone, you know,
and what's going on,
and say.
But what
you
happens?
Say something.
Right.
Well, yeah,
he will he will end up having to do the same thing that he's doing right now and pretty much pull a permit.
The work was done without permit.
Was one of your options was pulling a permit? I mean, did you talk to the code enforcer and ask him?
Of course, I talked to him several times.
Yeah,
and he was very surprised. He was very surprised that I had gotten one. But basically, he said,
"What did he recommend you do to aggravate Megan?" What did he recommend you do? What you're doing now?
Aggravated Megan. I said, "Well, maybe I anyway."
No, that is not how I do my job. First of all, and had the person that complained to me, if I'd said, "Oh, I know who owns that property. I don't know for sure, but please go talk to him." You had already dug the hole without permits, and you had already placed
the hole was dug in the 20s.
Okay, well, in your justification letter, you talk about a home ramp. So if the hole was there, you wouldn't need a home ramp.
Well, what we needed to do was to level the bottom of the hole,
so let
which
me
is
finish.
Pretty logical.
The work
right?
had been done, correct? The work had been done. The containers had been put in, footings had been poured without permits. Accurate?
That's correct.
Okay. So even if the person that complained to me, if I said, go talk to Dr. Fleming right now about it, you would still be going through this process.
It'd be the disagreement.
You would absolutely be still going through this process.
I wouldn't have paid
double the fees because you didn't.
I would not have paid double the fees as I did, which is a significant amount to most of us.
Are we sure that it was a permit, that it was something that had to be permitted?
Yes.
Because it was already an existing cellar and that you were just
fortifying it,
reinforcing it?
Interesting, on this code violation, the number that they address never has been addressed in any of these things. You know, they got a 2-2.
Is there any way for them to approve what you have done so far? Could you just call them and have them come out and approve what you have done? Sign off on it?
No.
I mean,
no,
if you pull a permit,
because
it's still got to go
it's
through
in violation
building.
Of the code.
Well, understand, but if he pulled the permit and everything, would they be able, you know, or are you going to have to lift everything up and have them inspect?
Oh, you can use a retractable.
Because if you're boarding four footings, you're probably going to have to.
Well, basically, they're not anchored to the footings anyway. Containers are movable. I mean, I could go down there tomorrow and pull all three of them out. But I don't want to. I don't think it makes sense.
Necessary, right.
I mean, it's ridiculous, actually. But anyway, okay. I don't know. Well, I guess it's up to you guys what you say.
Okay.
You can't do it or you can do it. Because basically, I still have to go to the Board of County Commissioners the 18th of September to talk about the same thing, I guess.
I approve to waive the development standards because I know what you're doing out there.
Second.
So are you talking about the whole application?
Yes.
Yep.
Including use permits and the design.
Yep. Yes.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Yes, the next question. Opposed?
Oh, opposed.
Aye.
Okay. So it's 4-1.
4-1.
All right. Thank you. I would hope that maybe that we could do something like ask that maybe one member of each department in the county have, as part of their training program, come to this rural community and then go to the other rural community so that basically they would at least have an idea whenever they're talking about, because I talked to the guys were very, very nice, but you know, they had no idea where we are, and that's, I think, unfortunate. I mean, I think that we should have a little bit better understanding from the county in that regard.
Megan, I have a question. You often have people come out from the county to look at things in Good Springs. Is it possible that they can see that it would be ridiculous for, oh my God, I'm bleeding, that it would be ridiculous to have, you know,
sidewalks? So there's
sidewalks
several things. So we don't get zoning applications here very often, so let me give you a little background.
I'm asking for your help as our liaison to assist.
So waivers and DELBA standards for off-sites, which off-sites are everything that's from the back of the sidewalk out. So from your property line out is called off-sites, and that is curb, gutter, sidewalk, street light, and full-width paving. So when you drive down a completely developed street in town,
right,
you have all those things. That's
right.
Required for any kind of development, that is required. In rural communities, there isn't a different standard because not all rural communities are the same. So they would have to come up with a different standard for each town.
Right.
And that can change. So what they do is say, you come in and apply for the waiver. It's a soft denial, which sounds silly, but if they just said, oh sure, you can deny it, you can waive that code, the code would never stand up. And there are times when, like in the Enterprise area, you know, on the east side of Las Vegas Boulevard where there's big old ranch mm-hmm. properties,
yep.
they've waived off-site so long that now their homes are being flooded because there's no curbs to direct the water. So there are reasons.
That makes sense.
In
oh, sure.
rural type areas,
sure.
not our kind of rural,
mm-hmm.
but in town rural, there are reasons that they should require them. So it comes out, they always recommend denial because it's their code. They stand by their code, and if you're a drainage engineer, absolutely there should be gutters. And if you are a traffic engineer, absolutely there should be sidewalks. So they stand by their code as far as waivers of off-sites. Every time someone comes in and asks for something out here, they're going to ask for that. Every time.
Mm-hmm.
And every time, you guys are going to say, we don't need them. And that's fine, and that's understood. And it may sound a little silly, but why even have a code then? Then each person would, there would be no standards.
Yeah.
So that's for that part of it. The other parts, as far as people not understanding our area, that's not a not understanding our area, that's a code thing. As far as placing a structure, building a building, our codes here are the same as in town. If you want to build a building, you have to get a permit. If you want to do something, put a structure, we had a guy with property over here, which I don't think he's done yet. He came back a couple years ago and wanted to put in a garage before his house. You guys
that
remember
was over
that?
There, Tom.
Roadkill grill,
mm-hmm.
roadkill something.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
What happened to you?
Yeah, I thought it was over here, but over here.
Yeah.
So the code says you, on a residential property, it's a residence. And then you can have other stuff to go with it. You can have a garage, tax shed, whatever. He wanted to do it out of order, so he came in for use permit to ask to do it out of order. Anywhere in Clark County, that's the way it goes. And there's reasons for all of these things, because people have come in town and built a garage first, never built a house, so now they're living like in a shack in a subdivision of nice homes. There's reasons for all of these things. So those rules are not dependent on rural, urban, whatever. If you want to do a structure, if you want to change grade, if you want to move in buildings, put on buildings, if a house burns down, you want to rebuild it, all of those things require permits. In this case, it's a commercial property. There is no established commercial use. And so when you bring in accessory structures, it's just like Tom with his garage, asking for something ahead of time. So that's why this is being heard. So the double of the fees is because of the code enforcement violation. The process would be the same regardless. That help?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to do a planning 101 class. Over at the community center in Sandy Bell, and let you all know when I'm going to do it. And I did it like 5 years ago, and people found it really useful, and it'll just go through all of this stuff. So I'll let you all know when I'm going to do that.
And you guys will let us know?
Yeah.
Well, I'll put it out on everything.
Yeah.
But it was really, really well received last time, and people have asked me to do it again with updates and stuff on what is a waiver, what is a use permit, what is zoning. Why would you need these things? So I'll be doing that this fall.
Cool. Okay, let's move on to general business. Number one, select a representative to serve on the Clark County Community Development Advisory Committee for possible action.
I don't think, because you were the last one to do it. And so it's the same thing that we ask for just about every year. CDAC is Community Development Advisory Committee. They determine how funds, federal grant funds, will be used throughout the county. So we get money, community development for lot grant funds from the federal government, and this is a committee that helps determine how the county spends that money, and I'm pretty sure this building was a result of that many, many years ago.
It was.
So I've heard it's very interesting. Did you find it interesting?
Yes, and colorful.
You get to hear presentations from all the groups that are vying for these grant funds. A lot of homelessness, right? Homeless shelters, women's
seniors.
So I've heard it's very entertaining and very rewarding. I know Ruth did it for many, many years. So if there's somebody that would be interested in doing that.
Do we know days of the week?
Usually how many Tuesdays.
Tuesdays, how many times?
I don't know what the process is going to be this time. It used to be like once a week for 2 months or something.
Yeah, there was only 7 or 8 meetings, and one was a bus ride.
Yeah, so if somebody's interested in doing that, I heard it's very fulfilling, too. It's a way for you to put in a bid for our community here as well, because that's how the big $3 million improvements that were done in Sandy Valley to our park were a result of this committee. Mm-hmm. Someone in Sandy Valley fought for it, and that's how we got that grant. So if somebody's interested, Jerry has the application, or you can get it from me. So I need to let him know by October, so I'll bring it up again next month and see if anybody's interested.
Okay, move on to number two, review fiscal year budget 2019 request and take public input regarding suggestions for fiscal year 2021 budget request for possible action.
So this is the thing we do every year to see if there are things, big ticket items, not stop signs or small things. These are big ticket items, community centers, pools, things like that, to see if there's anything you want.
Yes.
A few years ago, well, I know, within reason, a few years ago.
No, we're going big.
Okay. A few years ago, we got the roads paved, an alternative paving.
Yay.
That was on our list, and that got done.
Yeah.
So this process works. It takes a little while, but it works.
Just 2 years.
Yeah. Well, and how many years were they not paved? So so it works. So this is your chance. Last year, there weren't any. We discussed a couple of things, but most of the things that had been asked for had been done.
Mm-hmm.
So we didn't have any new ones, so I don't have any to report from last time. So
just that stop sign that keeps getting knocked down out there.
Oh, that. We need like a neon sign or something. I don't know. We need a virtual stop sign. I don't know what the answer is on that.
Hologram.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter if you know who's doing it.
Well, it's I think it's for public services to knock it down, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they back.
It's a bad location.
Yeah.
And the one right across the street, too.
So that is something, that's just a regular maintenance thing, so let me know when that happens, we get that fixed. This would be things like
a
paving
share,
of roads.
A food share allotment, little building.
Food share is a separate entity.
Oh, so it's the library. I was going to ask for a new library.
No, I think that's a great idea. I have been talking to the library district, and that is on their radar.
Okay.
But that is not a county facility.
Mm.
So this is county things, like a park, which you already have. You do have a lot of things here that other communities don't. You have a nice park. You have a water feature. So... So what's Tom thinking about?
Chris
a pond.
Yeah.
Tommy wants a pond.
Yeah. We think about a pond over by the fire station over there.
Yeah.
Like where the park is, potentially.
Okay.
Something that we could have stock.
Stock. Basically a pond so you can
dream.
This is what I said, just because from a town, I was from a town in California, they had a town where you can have fishing derbies and a little small pond where people can actually picnic around and have some stuff where it can be interactive to the community and people coming to actual a watering hole, and then we do have burros and wild horse here, so that would I think would even
and
help there. And then just another thing, I know Tom,
it would double as a for the bucket for the helicopter.
So
for fire.
Okay.
Really
want me to put this forward as a suggestion?
What do you guys think?
I'll put it on the list. Next month I will bring back everything and people think about it. This next month think about things you might want and like traffic signals in town, that's a big thing. People want traffic signals at intersections. We don't want that here. I'm just saying those are the type of things we're talking about. Next month we'll vote on on all the ideas that are brought.
Now remember that, general
public.
Maybe
we have a different way of saying it than a pond. Maybe it has
swimming
to have
hole?
A
watering hole?
Have something.
But we were thinking, like,
oasis.
you know, when
yeah,
you walk the trail,
oasis or something like that. Oasis,
good
springs,
oasis,
if
mirage.
It's for the animals,
got a branding problem. Right
if it's for the animals, that supports.
Yeah. Well, it could double
eco.
For the animals.
Where are we gonna get the water?
Right.
Not only do that.
So they'd want to call it an oasis instead of a pond.
I like it.
So you know where the walking trail is? I don't know how many people do the walking trail here. Tom and I frequent the walking trail quite often.
Every day.
So we do the walking trail. So if you did something in the middle, it doesn't have to be ginormous.
In the little loop.
Yeah,
in the little loop.
That would be perfect in the little loop part.
Yep.
Yeah.
Just a thought. Just a thought.
Okay. The county is really not in the business of doing pools anymore, and that would be considered a pool, as silly as it sounds. Even our water. So our splash pad, if you guys have been over to our park, the new splash pad there required showers. It required drainage.
Oh, my God.
It required a pump system that would fill half this room.
Mm-hmm.
So just keep that in mind.
They have a, I think it's called Floyd Lamb Park.
Uh-huh.
Where they have up there.
Natural spring.
Yeah, so yeah. So this is Good Spring, so we have natural springs here, right?
Okay,
I don't
Bonnie.
Know, I just thought it'd be fun.
Okay,
it would be fun. Yes. Yeah, like when Webb and Don Leslie were living over here, they had a pond, but in order to make it so that they could have it, they had to call it something like a water retention pond for fires and things like that, so they didn't have to get all the insurance and call it a.
Right, you know, and it can't be more than 18 inches deep, or then it kicks in things like lifeguards and things. So,
yeah,
that'd be fine. So I just wanted to make that comment because.
Talk me into it.
Yeah, you got nothing else to do, right?
I'm not talking to you guys. It has to be something associated with the fire department.
Well, it would actually succeed.
Exactly.
That's a big deal.
That would be
for us to deploy a pumpkin,
work.
Which we don't even have.
Yeah.
And for a helicopter, which a lot of the rocky terrain up here, when you're fighting that, the only thing that can fight it is a helicopter.
Call it a reservoir.
Yeah.
So a reservoir with a water feature and a park around it.
And fish.
And
fish.
Swimming school.
I don't want to get off topic, but since we're talking about the general public, please also keep in mind that we're still thinking about our town sign. And we've been talking about this for about 6 or 8 months, and we've got no response from the town. So if we don't get any response from the town, we're going to have to make a decision.
Everybody
which
in
means,
this room wants one.
I know, we all do, but what kind do we want? Do we want it
what
wood?
What do you want it to say? Do you want it to be stone?
What do you want on it?
Wood?
What do you want on it?
Well, the last time we were talking about the fact that we have our red rock, and that my kitty could donate or whatever a big old red rock and then get it etched.
I think that'd be great for the town history.
Yes.
And then the town businesses, we've talked, maybe that could be wooden and
kind
routed.
Well, it doesn't have to be wooden. You know the signs, if you guys see the trail, how those are steel?
Yeah,
we talked to Megan about that. Those will last forever.
Cool.
I mean,
yeah.
That's a lifetime.
Yes.
And we could repaint those, but you can give direction of what's going on here, whether it's the church, the historical society,
right.
Just directions of kind of what's going on out here. But then when you're talking about the Red Rock, as far as posting the history of here, and then, I understand. That'd look great.
It really
so
would.
So both of those would look great together, I think.
Yeah.
So do we all like the idea of the signs that we have at the park, as far as our welcome to Good Springs, and this is the organizations?
Yeah.
Okay. Do we need to make a motion on that?
No, I'll kind of draft up.
Okay. And then do we kind of like the idea of a red rock being flat? Sorry. With it maybe having a little bit of the town history on it?
Well, I don't think we want... didn't we talk about that would be...
By the graveyard, you
a problem?
No, across...
Coming
for,
into town?
Right.
That might be right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
It might be more appropriate, like, out in front of this building or something.
Yeah.
But there is a good
or maybe by the park.
This building.
So. I mean, the trail.
That thing needs to get replaced, doesn't it? Our little sign out here is so bleached out.
Yeah, that one's...
Oh, yeah.
Is that something that's budget-oriented?
You know what? I'll put it on the list.
Good job, Deb.
The thing that's sitting right here at the end of the walkway, you can't even read it anymore.
Oh, that one. Okay.
Okay, we ready
to
move on?
We need to let people know, not have to squint.
Okay, comments by the general public, a period devoted to comments by the general public about matters matters relevant to the board council's jurisdiction will be held. No vote may be taken on a matter not listed on the posted agenda. Comments will be limited to 3 minutes, please. Step up to the speaker's podium. Clearly state your name and address and spell your last name for the record. If any member of the board or board council wishes to extend the length of presentation, this will be done by the chair or the board council by majority vote. This is your time. I have a quick thing. I'll just stand here. Katie Heinzer, 715 West Exchange. Just so everyone knows, September 28th, I believe, is the next dump day. The dumpsters will be out
September
in the clearing.
September 28th? No, September 14th.
It says on the sign the
28th.
Oh,
15.
I'm sorry, I'm wrong.
I swear I read.
No.
I thought it was on the regular sign.
Just a minute.
Oh, no, September 24th is our next meeting.
Mm-hmm. It's the 14th. It's the 14th, and they come the 5th, the 13th.
Yes, and they're
going to be full by the
28th is.
They're
clearing
not right. I saw the 28th on the sign right outside.
I'll go run there.
So
right
it is
now,
seven.
But it's,
okay.
Because we only have two. We
so
only
trash,
have two
yeah.
In,
so it's 9:14.
One of them says 9:14.
Okay, I apologize.
I mean, I'll go down there and take a picture of it.
Oh, when we walk out to the cars,
we'll
see it.
I'm almost positive.
Okay, good deal. Anyone else have anything to share?
Does anyone not know what dump day means that
yeah.
Katie referred to?
Yeah.
Does anyone not know what that means? Yeah. That means you can
Republic
get rid of
Service
all your big stuff.
Trash,
just about everything.
And
Colleen
it,
and her helpers are out there.
Refrigerators went and mattresses went.
If you can get them up in there, if you can get them there early on Saturday when the little garbage guys are here.
Yeah.
They will open up the end of the dumpster
right,
and help you in with them.
We lock them in.
Everything else, you've got to be able to lift up over.
Yeah.
And they're tall. So.
Yeah.
The garbage guy, the little guy's here with the, right, the little guy's here with the pickup. Super nice kid. And he's here from 8 till noon.
Okay.
And they do come and replace and
I
bring
know,
back
we
out.
Need, we need.
Well, except last year they took them away before Sunday. They took the last two away Saturday. Which is what they have to do, but right. Sometimes, yeah, they don't get around to picking them up till Sunday, but this last time they picked them up Saturday.
So what won't they take?
Oil
batteries.
He'll take some of it in the back of his pickup if it's not like 5,000 gallons.
Don't put it in the dumpster, just tell the guy.
Right. He'll take, he'll take A TV or two, them big old whomping TVs, he'll take those in the back of his pickup. Depends on which guy you get.
I found that in the pastures, there are some things that they wouldn't take, but I found if you called Republic Services ahead of time and told them this is what you'd like to dump, they will be prepared for it.
Sometimes
for
they do,
day,
right.
Versus going there and they say, I won't take it.
Right. Sometimes they do, and sometimes some of the guys will take it in their pickup, some won't, but
they won't take tires.
What
the
did
luck
you find that they wouldn't take?
Well, 1 year,
tires.
I had all these medications, drugs and
they
stuff.
Yeah,
right.
Oh, yeah.
They had a metro officer there that would take them.
I was going to say,
because
give
I
them
called,
Sergeant
I
D.
Called time, and I know one time it was going to trash or something.
The one I know they...
Right.
No,
nobody would do that.
I've wanted to glass, you know, in a aluminum frame glass. They won't take glass.
And also, I've heard tires. They won't take tires.
They should take tires.
They say they don't.
Okay.
They told us to take them up to Apex.
Okay. I will if that
verify.
Happens again, let me know.
Okay.
Because that's part of the beauty of living in a rural area.
Yeah,
if you're in town, they will not take tires.
But
out here, in the rural areas, they are supposed to. So,
okay.
But if it's a guy that usually works in town,
and it is
used to the no.
Right.
You know.
That,
so.
And that's
and
what
think
it was.
It's whether it has a rim on it or not.
No, it doesn't matter. Tires, they'll take tires.
Can we possibly get a list of the yeses and nos?
It's
sure.
going to be an in-town list.
What I've been told in the past, because I do these in all of the towns, paint, oil, and batteries are basically the only thing that can't go in the dumpster.
paint, oil, and batteries.
Right.
Because those are considered hazardous. And a trick on paint is just take the lid off, let it dry out, then it's a solid and it's no longer a problem.
Oh.
Right. Oh, that sounds groovy.
My husband has to do that at work because they get paint donated all the time. They just take the lids on, let it dry out because they can't use it.
So, you can put sand in it too.
Good. But yeah, paint, oil, and batteries is nice, what Yvonne. Hazardous is considered household hazardous.
Tom Checkles, 473 Pacific Avenue. I have a million shares in the Yellow Pine Mining Company. Dr. Fleming, where can I cash these in? And then I also have an invitation to the Fail Hotel Grand Opening.
Oh my God.
May 13, 1916. Somebody sent it to me. So if you'd like to check this out.
We have a seller.
1916. Okay. That's right.
Oh, Jimmy.
Yeah. Nice one.
But yes, I have this if you guys want to check it.
The million shares are good for a dozen eggs.
A dozen eggs. Okay. I'll take it. What a deal.
Yes.
Anything else?
I have two dozen.
I called two dozen.
Oh, she's got like 12 dozen.
I'll give you an alpaca.
You can have that alpaca.
So,
anything else by our general public?
525 West Pacific Avenue. Just, I noticed that they're doing the easements. I guess they clear all the brush out of the easements. I'm coming up from Gene all the way up, so I've been noticing that. Just a thought. I don't know, Megan, if it's something that we could recommend, but on Pacific specifically, the actual trees, those are like literally coming into the street where, like,
right.
It's hitting cars that are driving by, and the cars are actually, I mean, they're getting pretty close to each other because we have obviously the gun range out there, and they drive, and the people are coming out. So it had been like bird droppings, but they're like trees now. But I think if that's all cleared out, then we're going to see the sign there that says 25 miles an hour. Absolutely. And we're going to see all that stuff, but it's just so overgrown.
Is that just on the north side of
Pacific? It's coming
everywhere.
Are you going to want to do north and south side of Pacific, or just the north side?
No, just absolutely do both. I mean, the both.
Well, that's hers.
If you like your easement, that's, we could leave it. But I mean, it's mostly what I'm talking about is
those birds of paradise take forever to grow that big, and I don't want them gone.
Oh, we have a ton at my house. I'll bring you some volunteers.
But no, just like when you're going out there, they're like
the north side
over
is
the
bad.
Road.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, the tree is what I'm
saying. So this is another thing. You don't have to wait to the meeting to ask me. Take a picture, text it to me, email it to me, and say, hey, please have Public Works take care of this.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Cool. Great.
So Pacific, is it a specific intersection or all
it's the entire street.
North side of the street.
North side.
North side of the street is, I mean,
is
I have
the
nothing
worst.
On my side. It's just easement
north.
And fence, but
north.
Yeah, absolutely. There's just that whole side. If it was cleaned up, and then we could see these signs. And
I mean, if you can send them in yourself in the works at
your
Clark County NV, but it's
just going
to
be
awesome.
It's your property.
It's
somebody forgot to ask
you.
Okay. No, actually, the county does own that ditch now.
That's a judgment, right, from your property?
They buy the ditch there.
The ditch gets so filthy, I mean, with stuff blows over there.
Do they clean that out when they do the easement?
Does anybody come and clean if it's their ditch?
Because I know when they do these easements, they take the big tractor and it just pushes.
Right, that's NDOT.
Okay, so it's different.
So,
that's a state highway.
Since it's their ditch, they don't clean it?
Well, if there's something that needs to be cleaned,
it's just stuff.
Okay.
Things get in there.
But they don't drive by every day and check them. So if you have an issue, let me know and I'll put it on.
I just pull it out and throw it in the dumpster, but sometimes it's that angle.
It's just
down
flown
the hill. It's hard
it's
to
just flown
out.
In there from people's trash cans and kind of just fall in there because the winds get so going out here that trash just gets.
If it's like potato chip bags and stuff, I don't know that Public Works is going to send a crew out to pick up stuff like that. If it's a couch, then yes, or if it's large stuff. But I can tell you, they are so busy trimming trees and doing all that stuff. I don't know that they're going to come out and pick up. And that might be like a community thing that you put together and have a cleanup.
That's where I pick it up.
I'll take a picture and email it to you. And then you'll see, I'll take a picture inside what's in there.
Yeah.
I would love to get some kind of a community trash day or weekend to where we could barbecue at the fire station or at the park and everybody could pitch in and we get together and we clean up our town.
Well, and years
because
ago...
Because we have many homebound people that are not able, and I'm sure they would love to have the help.
Years ago, on the trash day, people would just drive their trucks around and say, do you need
really
anything gone? I mean,
cool.
That's how we did it years ago. And
cool.
Last couple of years, that hasn't happened.
No.
But,
well, a few
yeah.
years ago, I did, I think 2 years in a row.
We used
I did,
to have parties.
I did, well, not just parties, but I did an event. And we had, like, 4-H kids come. And there was a raffle so that if they picked up trash, they got raffle tickets. So it encouraged them to walk around town.
They could
do
go
that.
Down Pacific
oh, cool.
and pick up
the
stuff in the ditch.
But I have to tell you, as time went on, I mean, I think things are changing, but it was like pulling teeth to get anybody to come. The most people I got was coming from Sandy Valley. So if you want to do that, I will fully support you and help you. And maybe coming from the community, you would get a better response, but it's hard to get people out.
It is. It is. Okay.
In October.
Oh, or December, January.
Yeah, not this
any more
week.
Comments by the general public so we can move on?
One more.
Okay, Steve.
Steve Fleming, 130 Pacific. The culvert that goes across the state highway down here, Megan,
uh-huh.
are we still working? I know you were talking about changing that to County Street versus NDOT Street.
Which culvert? There's a bunch.
Well, there's really the biggest one is right down from the school. It runs right across from the school, goes right across, and it hasn't been cleaned out there for,
right here at the corner.
Okay, I'll have to, I'm not familiar with it, but I'll look.
Because basically last year we're in a big flood area, or the biggest rain we've had in a
this
long time.
Right here.
Yeah, it
mm-hmm.
cut right
our
across
traffic,
here.
Okay.
And
our traffic
it,
circle.
Okay.
It's been there for, since that road was built, but I don't think it's been cleaned out
well,
since.
Well, it's still NDOT, we'll have them come do it. But if the county were to take it, that would be something. That's pretty dumb. But I'm going to be coming out to drop off some stuff Thursday morning, so I'll check it out then in the daylight so I can see what's going on.
I see they're cleaning the culverts all the way down 161.
Right, so
ever
yeah,
so slowly.
Are out here. It's slow, huh?
Oh, they're only up to mile marker 3 now.
Yeah,
yeah.
I went on a 10-day vacation, came back, and they're still not.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to move on.
It's a very precise process.
Next meeting date is going to be September 24th of 2019. And with this, we are adjourned.
Thank you.